listening. For the transcript, this will be the study group on use of names for countries and territories on April 11th, 2013.
Good morning, everybody. Our chair is connected by phone. So if you could use a microphone, if you speak up and say your name also for the transcript purposes. I'm Bart Boswinkel. I am staff support for this group. Paul, we're ready.
Oh, absolutely, always ready, Bart. Thank you, everyone. Apologies for now that we get down to the real business end of our work, that I'm not actually there with you, but I trust that we'll be able to, through the wonderful work of the ITU, be able to get through this session with me on the phone line. As I gave a bit of a brief outline at the CCNSO meeting, my interpretation is we are very nearly there. I think we're nearly at a point of being able to wrap up our work, even if it may mean that we're just going to recommend some more. So the purpose of today's session is really to go through, as you would have heard Bart and I discussing a little earlier, to go through our draft final report. Bart circulated a couple of versions of that, redlined and then clean, back on Monday. So I hope everyone has that with them. Bart will work everyone through those changes. And as I mentioned in my email in response to that, this is really getting towards our final call. People can make another set of comments, and then really it would be time for the finalisation of the report and releasing it out into other hands. The only other agenda item for today is that specifically that the discussion of next steps, where it goes from here, and the timeframes for getting this all wrapped up. It would be really helpful for me, especially because I can't see the room, if we could go around and people could let me know who's there, introduce themselves around the table, and then I'll get back to talking.
Paul, let's do that. So you know I'm here. Can we start with who is this? Gabby.
Hi, Paul. This is Gabby, CCNSO Secretariat.
Hi, Paul. It's Annabeth Lang, .no.
Hello.
Martin Boyle, .uk.
Maarten Simon, .nl.
Joke Brake, .eu.
Socola Giu, non-com appointee to CCNSO Council.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff.
Lars Hoffman, ICANN staff.
Yaomni.kr, and I have apologies from Cheryl.
Victorian Observer from the GNSO.
Heather Forrest, pardon me, from the GNSO.
Eduardo Diaz, ALAC.
Maureen Hilliard, I'm representing ALAC as well.
And that was it, Paul.
Wonderful. Thanks, Barton. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Hardy Souls, for making it to this 8 a.m. session for you today. Before we just get into Bart wrapping up or going through changes to our final report, I just wanted in particular to thank Annabeth and Heather for their considered comments on the report, and they've been incorporated. Bart did the heavy lifting in terms of going through it and making some amendments to reflect their comments. I particularly, when we get to it, draw people's attention to the end of the report, because there were some issues there with regards to our final recommendations, which ultimately, of course, whilst the rest of the content is fabulous, the recommendations are the key point. They reflect the suggestion that Annabeth made, and also it somewhat reflects what Cheryl said on our last teleconference. So that's just something I wanted to highlight. Again, as I mentioned in my last email, please, it'd be great if we could work through this, and we will be quite detailed about it, because this is everyone's opportunity to make their nearly last comments. So I wanted everybody to be on the same page, so to speak. With the simple request, again, please ignore the fact that, for instance, the executive summary doesn't have the if it has a placeholder for the recommendations, obviously, until we finalise them, inserting the content of the UNESCO report, for instance. Those minor editorial changes, if we could ignore those and take them as a given. It'd be really good if we could then work through the rest of the content and particularly the changes and see how everyone feels around the table about it. And that's probably a good time to hand it over to you, Bart.
Okay, thanks, Paul. This is Bart. Going through the changes, and that's why it's a bit complicated if you look at the red line. So the major changes from a more editorial point of view is that the timeline is now in an annex as well as a membership. As a result, you'll see that the numbering of the pages, etc., has been changed, and I wasn't able to reflect this in the table of contents. So, Paul, work ahead. I want to go through the first changes, and that's in the background. You'll see on, and that's page number 4 of the compare document. I think you see there are some small editorial changes there. Are there any comments, remarks? And this is done, I think, on the basis of our own read of the document itself. Are there any questions regarding the changes on page 4? Or if anybody has any other remarks on page 4? No? Then we go on to the next set of changes. Again, this is on page 5. You see here that there is a reference now to the annexes, the timeline, and I'm in page, and now you see that's in deliverable 1 on page, and this is probably a major change on page 9. What Paul and I have done is add a 2 paragraph or add a 1 paragraph, and I'm in the paragraph how country and territory names are treated, Paul. We add 1 paragraph to, in fact, as the rationale for the work of this working group. So let me, I don't know, has everybody the text in front of him? And I see a comment from Heather.
Just a question, Bart, Paul. As I read this paragraph, I wondered if it was the cart before the horse, the one way around. Specifically the word legal frameworks. If I read the paragraph, I think it means that how, starting with the beginning of the paragraph, how country and territory names are treated, and then advancing to the end of it, determines legal frameworks, and really very often it's the other way around. Several of my comments have pushed us to steer very clear of the law and making any sort of determination about the law. But if I read that correctly, it was how they're treated determines the legal framework, and very often it's the legal framework that determines.
Yeah,
how
in this case, it is on purpose. It's done this way. The way we looked at it is maybe legal framework is the wrong word. Maybe the frameworks. It should be arrangement. What we were referring to, it depends on whether you will enter into a contracted relation with ICANN.
I see, contractual relationship.
Yeah, but say that's if it turns out to be a GTLD. Say in some cases, like in some CCTLDs, they enter into an exchange of letters, accountability framework, and sometimes even into a contractual relationship. That's why we said legal frameworks, or maybe arrangements is the better word for it.
Sure, perhaps legal arrangements with ICANN or something
Yeah, let's change that. Paul, you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, no concerns there. I will rewind a little bit. Sorry I didn't jump in before. But yeah, completely agree with Heather's point. I also wanted to note, Heather, you'd made a point earlier on what had been on page 5. In fact, it still is on page 5, the list of our work, what we've been directed to do. And I believe you made a comment about would it be prudent for us to tick off what we've done and what we haven't and why not, etc. So a brief comment in there about what we've done. that's not there currently, but my short answer is yes, I think that's valuable. That's appropriate for us to mark off what we've done and what we haven't. The majority of it is, of course, yes, we've done it. And for instance, point E about liaising with the IDN CCPDP Working Group 1, well, that was as necessary, and we didn't really need to because we've got Bart here as the font of all knowledge. So clarification about those sort of things would be good, and that will be included. But anyway, sorry to interrupt, Bart. Yes to page 9, that change.
Just a quick response. Thank you, Paul. I thought it was useful because I simply wasn't sure, and my thinking is if those of us on the working group aren't sure, then the reader might not be sure either. Thank you.
Sorry, I have a comment to that paragraph as well. Yeah, it's the same paragraph. When I read it, I really didn't figure out what was in it. So I said, if we don't understand it, probably others don't either. If this is the paragraph where you try to explain the impact of whether a CNT name is treated as a CCTLD or a GTLD,
yeah,
then perhaps it could be a little more clear if we start the sentence with how country and territory names, whether the country and territory names are treated as a CCTLD or a GTLD, and get that a little clearer in the paragraph. Would that be possible? Because I found it difficult to read that.
Yeah, it's a very dense. It's a very dense paragraph.
And perhaps split it up in several sentences.
Well, I think we could have a stab at it that way. It's the way you and I discussed it. We knew there is a lot of words, and it's very condensed. Trying to explain there is a difference between CCTLDs and GTLDs, and what's the impact of that difference. So we'll have a go at it and try to explain it a bit more. But it needs to be done at this high level, because that's, as I said, I think it is the rationale why it's so important to see how country and territory names are treated and in which where they will end up. Okay. Paul, I think that...
I'm very happy with that. Again, we'll take that offline. We can get some comments from Annabeth as well. And obviously, as we consolidate and add everything in to what we call our pretty much final version, we'll draw everyone's attention to those recrafted paragraphs.
Okay. I'll go to the... Any other questions or comments about this paragraph? Because I think this was one of the major changes compared to the previous version. No, thank you. The next paragraph on this page, again, this is based on a private exchange with Annabeth. In order to explain why in the overview itself we don't use the terminology consistently. The terminology is derived directly from the different policies and methodology, say like the fast track process, and this paragraph is there to indicate, and maybe it's not clear enough, but to indicate that, say, in the different policies and in the fast track methodology, different terminology is used, and this is precisely one of the major concerns. So if you talk about country names, country and territory names, say for one policy, it has a different meaning than in another policy. Any comments, suggestions, feedback? Heather?
Thank you for that clarification, Bart, because I wasn't quite sure what that paragraph meant. Maybe could we link it to, we have later in the report, it's a dot point that says we haven't attempted to define CCTLD or country and territory names. Perhaps if we link it to that,
yes,
is that the point that's being made here?
Yeah, no, it's more that you see as we go into the overview of the different policies, and maybe it should be in that paragraph, is that we didn't attempt to unify the terminology across the different, and maybe that's the way it should be rephrased.
That's fair. Either that or something along the line of we note that. Yeah, I think that's fine if we just clarify the language. I get the point.
Yeah, okay. homework again, Paul.
Another comment from me again. So why we started this was because I noted that in the report, sometimes we're talking about the country names, other times we're talking about territory names, and then again, other times country and territory names. So just to get it clear that that's not something we have omitted or done wrong, but it's the reason why it's like that.
Yeah. Any other comments? No? Okay. Again, Paul, work to do.
Thank you.
The next current policies and methods, etc. This has been updated. I think I'm on page 9 now, basic rule from RFC 5091. Then the rules, and this is to clarify, say, the policy for two letter codes. And again, this is, as a suggestion, is this is the way, say, based on RFC 5091, the how the CCTLDs are created. The rules sort of fast track. So again, to make very clear, this the fast track process, as many of you will know, is not a policy in the strict sense. It is a methodology, and that's I think that we should use that terminology throughout to make very clear there is a distinction between the fast track process and the future overall policy. I'm on page 10, some small changes. Any comments on page 10 on the changes? No. We go to page 11. At the request, I think, and I need to check it again in the next version, but at the suggestion of Heather, we've made a reference to the latest version of the applicant guidebook. And that, to my knowledge, it's from 2012, the 4th of June. Any comments maybe on the footnotes? Because these were added as well to and maybe just an explanation. This is a bit of the history why the country and territory names are excluded from the applicant guidebook. Some small editorial changes on page 12. Any comments on page 12? No. Page 13. I've added the only one IDN CCTLD string per designated language. Designated language, for those who are not familiar with the terminology of the of the overall policy, designated language has the same meaning as official language, but to avoid a whole discussion on what is official and what is, we changed it to designated language. But this is one of the real limiting factors and is creating problems on its own. So that's why it's included. Applicant guidebook. Okay, I'm on page number. This goes fast, this bit. Page 16, proposed. This is from the latest version from the final report, and it will be this is going to be difficult to say, but this is more an editorial question. Yesterday the CCNSO Council adopted the final report, so now we're going into a members vote, and by the time document is completed and will be submitted, it will probably be submitted as a policy to the ICANN board. So we need to keep this up to date, and you will see that over the next couple of weeks, 2 months that the terminology of this section will change. I'm on page 19, no changes, and you see some small editorial changes throughout the document. Page 21, 22, on page 24, say, of the, this is, in the paragraph there, is we've added the sentence that the responses received also indicated that it's very difficult and time-consuming to engage and involve the appropriate governmental agency or departments. We've added and included this sentence to make clear that, say, to get the appropriate governmental agencies or departments involved in, say, ICANN procedures or UNESCO, is going to be very difficult, and you'll see that maybe in the observations, the final observations as well. And I think this is a statement of fact, but say based on the UNESCO survey, and it makes very clear that, say, in circumstances, even when the GEC is involved, they will have problems getting in touch with their own appropriate governmental agencies. So I think it's an important observation for future work. Any comments on this one? Suggestions? No. Then we go on to 25.
Well, just a comment. I have a little problem with the pages in my computer, and I've written it out, and it's totally confused. So could you just say where,
okay,
or with words, in which chapter, or
okay, yeah. That's fine. I'm now in say section 5, deliverable 3.
Then I have a comment on deliverable 2, something on I missed. It's just something that is missing, or something's too much. It's under deliverable 2, official, conventional, long form and short form names. In the old.
Yeah. I'm looking. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
Official, conventional, long form. Yeah.
Then,
I'm there. So for those who have the computer, that's page 20.
First paragraph in that section.
Yeah.
It's either something that's missing or it's too much, because the last two words that states,
where,
as with ISO 31166 codes, country and territory long and short form names were included in the study group's deliberations, as they are the most predictable common representation of sovereign identity that states.
Of that state, yeah.
Something.
Paul, Paul, can you see it? We're in the compare version, page 20, and I'll make a note of it that we, of, and I think of states. So, note.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Annabeth. So, now I'm moving on. So, I'm back on page 21 of the compare version. And examples of country and territory names in minority or indigenous languages. There are no changes there. So this is, we've done the one, so the final paragraph of this section we looked at. I'm now in deliverable 3, Annabeth. And on ISO 31166 code, so that's for the others, page 25, we've added the example of .mk, Macedonia, the former Yugoslav, of, in order to complete, say, to make a better picture what will happen when, say, when Yugoslavia was split. No changes there. on 26. So furthermore, the study group noted the relaunch and rebranding of Columbia.co under auspices of the Colombian government. That's what's happened. Now we go into the exact... Yeah? Go ahead. Right.
Bart, going back to page... let me find it. 25. There's written that it's about the deletion of the AN code. And it also includes something about French Saint Martin, and that's not part of the deletion of the AN code.
Yeah, you're right.
So it should be removed, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but let me make a note of this, Martin. Yep. And then MF should be removed as well. Yes, that's been a... Thank you, Martin. I should have known. Martin.
Going back down that list a bit further to the one you just referred to on the insertion of .mk, there is something wrong with the name of the country because it's the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia rather than Macedonia, the former Yugoslav Republic of.
Yeah, this is the way it's listed in the ISO 3166 list. That's the
interesting. Is it really?
Yeah. And with a comma.
With a comma, yes. Okay. It's certainly normally FYROM.
Yes, but this is the way.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, Sokol?
Just a very short comment with regard to .mk. I'm not understanding this. Is this a proposal, or what is, I mean, what's the idea of this? Because currently the government of Macedonia is in negotiations for deciding on their own name. And this is a very lengthy discussion with Greece and EU.
I know. And one of the reasons is, if you look at it, as I said to Martin, this is the way it's currently entered into the list of the ISO 3166 list. That's why we got... .mk referring to this name. I know it's very, very sensitive in both countries. We've noted this when .mk became member of the CCNSO. And maybe that's, I think, looking back when we started to include it, it is included, in fact, knowing that it's a very sensitive area, but say, this is a factual representation of the current state of affairs, but say just having your comment makes very clear that this is a sensitive area. Any other comments? Yeah, Heather, please go ahead.
May I make a recommendation? Because it's two different kinds of changes that are represented on that list. The MK represents an opportunity, there's a possibility and indeed a high potential of future change as well.
Yeah.
In that sentence that starts off that list, such changes include, could we perhaps add such past and potential future changes include, or such past and future changes could potentially, or something like this, to trigger that it's things that have happened and areas where change may also happen in the future.
Yep. Paul?
Yep, absolutely.
I think that's useful because it flags, particularly in that .mk example, this is something that may well, it
will
is, it's
change
going
again.
To develop.
Yeah.
And I agree with that also. And this is a dynamic process, and so we can prevent it.
And that's the major reason why we included all these changes, to show, and that's what people tend to forget. They think ISO 3166 is a stable list, while it isn't. It is. Okay, we're moving on. Back to. Where were we? Acronyms. acronyms. I'm on page 27. Other commonly used acronyms and abbreviations. So the first table. Then,
by the way, Bart, I think the pagination is out by about one. So what you're calling 27 seems to be 28 for the rest of us. So as said, if you can refer to the sections, that'll be the best thing.
Sorry. So I'm now in section official and conventional long form and short form names again, and the changes there. So that's under the second table.
And Bart, if I may, just to explain, obviously a lot of study group members will recognise these tables or slides or diagrams that were put in. My intent was I simply pulled those straight out of the discussion. Not everybody may have seen them if they were not at a particular meeting. They're not ones we just made up. It's ones that we actually worked through and discussed at our sessions. So I thought it was quite relevant to use it. They haven't been made up for the purposes of this final report. There's something that should be familiar to all of us. So that was the intent, to give some illustrative examples.
Now the next page, and especially the bit I know, the final table on .no. Annabeth suggested also Iceland, but this one was discussed, as Paul just said. And what is interesting is maybe we I don't know if we need to discuss it, say Norvège, so with the Latin character, the air, it's not fast track, it is potential new, say the overall policy, but say what is the issue here, it's not a designated language.
No, but I think that it doesn't show the whole thing, because Norwegian is one thing. But if French had been a designated language in Norway, then it could have been a CCTLD. So perhaps it would have been better. Why I suggested Iceland is that they have the one non-ASCII letter in their name. So that's why we don't. And there it is a designated language. And if in Norway, for example, Urdu, that is a designated language in Norway. So Norway in Urdu, that would have been a CCTLD. But Norway would be a GTLD. Norway is just an example. It will never happen in Norway anyway. But some countries would absolutely have that problem.
Yes, and I think because of Norvège, because it's French, everybody recognizes it French, that makes it interesting because it's not designated, and maybe, I don't know if we do have an Urdu version of Norway, if you could provide it and include it, because that would make it an IDN CCTLD, because it is a designated language. And then it becomes very clear that it's very messy. Yes, Paul?
I'm very happy with that. I thank Annabeth for having the comfort with us using Norway as an example. People might get squeamish about being identified or having a country identified in that way. But I'm very happy to add every example that we feel is relevant. So happy to put that one in.
And drill this down a bit further. I tried to change it, but I couldn't change the tables.
No, it was a set editorial thing. It was a set image, Bart.
Yeah. So I'm now in country and territory names in six official languages of the UN. So that's page 31, I believe. Yeah, no changes there. Examples. Then there is on page 33 the final paragraphs of examples of name in non-official language. Again, it's more by exclamation maintained by SIL. We need to change that a bit because it's really standing out. Uh, I'm now in deliverable four study group recommendations, and I think this is where the major changes, with the exception of the first of all, the comments and observations of the study group. So the second observation, again, it's done to reflect the dynamic character of lists. The third one, so no comments there. The third one is we've included the term end user. And there is a new observation. So that's number five, I believe. Again, it is part of the, it will be part of the overall policy, the mechanisms of review. Any comments, suggestions here on the observations? No, then we go into the recommendations, and we've included two recommendations. Take your time to read them. I don't. Any comments, suggestions for these two included? Yeah, Heather.
In regards to the first paragraph, I think it's important that we explain why. If that's the recommendation, I mean, it comes out of the blue,
okay.
Actually.
Yeah.
And to the extent that, and it's important, let's say, to the extent that we are saying that we think that this ties to the observation made above, that this is extremely complex, then I agree with that. If there's another reason as to why these are excluded, then I'm not sure if I agree.
Yeah.
You know, if the point is that there's just, this is such a mess that we don't dare to stick our toe in and try and draw a line in the sand as to what these things are and what to do with them, then I'm all for that. But if there's some other reason, then I'm not with it.
No, fully agree. Paul, any comments on that one?
So, Heather, just to be really clear, and I'm sorry I'm repeating back to you what you've just said, but obviously it's quite important that we get this bit right. We've made certain arguments or conversations or observations throughout the paper about the complexity of issues surrounding the use of country and territory names. And the whole point is that having made that observation and based on that, we would recommend, make that recommendation. So if we've said it before, we then make a recommendation based on it, but you'd like to make it explicit that we're making a recommendation on those grounds because of the complexity associated with these issues. Is that, have we got that right?
Correct, yes. I think there's just, if we had someone that advanced to the very end of this document and didn't have the benefit of an explanation, they might think there was some other reason for which we're making this recommendation. And I think it ties the entire report together quite well, that we say that having observed this, which we've reported on in the report, that we then, for that reason, make this recommendation.
And maybe to make it even clearer and say the second recommendation follows precisely this argument that, say, until say, this has been resolved by mechanisms such as this cross-community working group, that, say, the consecutive rounds of new GTLDs, well, country and territory names will be excluded. So it's not definite, but it's for the time being, to make that clearer as well.
I agree, yes. I think that needs to be made much clearer, yes. I would say, you know, the first recommendation is something along the line of, in light of the complexity observed in and discussed in the report above, we recommend a hold until such time as recommendation two.
Yeah.
Yes.
My suggestion would be to change the order, to first start with the recommendation two,
Well, yes.
And then we could say, as there's nothing coming out of that, we should...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. It's something like this, but at least it's very clear as the two recommendations are tied together, and we need to provide a rationale for the first one, because that's probably the most impactful recommendation, and then the recommendation two is the path forward. That's why I would like this order here, because you say, okay, for the time being do this, but we have a mechanism to resolve it. Yeah, it's a way of, they tie together, and what is the better order we'll check, and once we got a, say, draft final language, and then we share it with the group. Any other comments on these two sections? Heather, go ahead.
Just one more comment, apologies Bart. In terms of the last sentence of that second paragraph, should be invited. Forgive me if what I'm about to say is not very diplomatic, but I would prefer that I mean, I suppose it's evident in the words cross-community working group, but I think it's imperative that we have a truly cross-community group here, that this isn't simply should invite, but in fact that we stress that this needs to
be
cross-community.
Invited.
Yes, please.
Yep, done. And oh no, I don't want to go there. I will go there. You could even, but that's maybe something that's a bit out of scope. But you could think of a board working group like the Geographic Regions Board working group, because then it has, and it's clear reporting back to the board in order to resolve it.
I wonder if we get ourselves into that policy implementation morass that we're all feeling the pain of right now. You know, when we involve the board, and what does the board do with the results of such a working group? That's been heavily disputed this week, and I think there's sensitivity around that. So perhaps if we avoid that quagmire.
That's some of the sensitivities, say, the CCNSO doesn't have.
That's fair enough. But as soon as we involve the GNSO, I think the point that I wish to make was simply that we ensure that it's not simply a may invite, that it's a truly a cross-community group.
Yep. Noted. So that concludes. So as Paul said, we will include the full summary of the any other comments, by the way, on these two sections. Are there any other suggestions for recommendations, or do these two capture the sense of Heather, go ahead. Capture the sense of Annabeth.
I think we have illustrated very well that this is a complicated field, and the thing you have recommended here catches all we have been talking about in the report. So as long as we state very clearly that we will look into the complexity and see if we can find the solution, and until then, at least until then, we just leave it as it is today. And anyway, it's so many GTLDs out there now, so they have to solve these problems first anyway. So the second round, we don't know when that will come anyway. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Annabeth. So as I said, the annex will be included, and then the major changes are, and there are no editorial changes to the list of members. Oh, there is one. I think I've included Marika. Maybe I should include Lars as well. And Jaap Akkerhuis as member of the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. Okay, Paul, I've run through the document. You noted and I noted some of the changes. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Bart, and thank you, everyone. I appreciate that was a painstaking exercise, but I hope everyone can appreciate that at this time it was very important for us to go through this line by line. The next course of action will be Bart and I will make the changes as discussed, make sure, as I mentioned, the UNESCO material is just missing at the moment because we're just going to get an official okay with regards to the inclusion of that material. It was agreed previously, but just to make sure that that's explicitly agreed upon again, we'll make the editorial changes, and they're not substantial, so thank you. That's a very good thing. And we will then get that back out to everyone in the group for a final comment as soon as possible. It's actually back to you from now, Bart, because oddly enough, I'm relatively new to this chairing study groups in this environment. As I mentioned during the 10-minute update that I had, which wasn't really enough time to go into any sort of depth or detailed briefing for the CCNSO on what we're doing, everyone, CCNSO members will see this report. They will have an opportunity to analyse and look at it as well. To date, I think Leslie's comments reflected that a lot of people were quite happy for this group to go away and do its difficult work, and then everybody will follow a little more closely. We slipped behind original deadlines. That wasn't a problem because ultimately we were just trying to get in before round two of the new GTLD process, and we've done that comfortably. But I didn't want our time frames to slip much further. As far as I'm concerned, we're very near the conclusion of our drafting work. We now have a report that we can deliver and put out. Bart, did you have some comments specifically about the expectations of process from here?
No, I think, but that's up to the study group, so we can go. I think in order to share this more broadly is that we finalise it, and the question is, do we want to open it up for public comments, yes or no? And start the discussion after. If we do it, then we will go beyond Durban meeting. We can also, and that's an alternative as well, because that we send this out as a final report of the study group, and it will be discussed, say in the different SOs and ACs, and they come back to the CCNSO Council, because this is the report from the study group to the CCNSO Council. So
now, just to be clear, the chair, I don't have privilege in one way or the other. I'm conscious of time frame,
yeah,
but I'm also conscious that there was a bit of mixed feedback on Tuesday as to awareness or interest or knowledge of the group, and it's hard when people hold up coloured cards to understand exactly why they did. But I'm not prescribing a particular course of action from here on out. That's something that I would welcome.
I think it's more to the participants, especially from the GNSO and at large, to check what would be your preference. Would we send it out for public comment or submitted to the CCNSO Council?
I think sending it out to public comment would probably be a really good idea, to try and get more people to actually have read it and thought about it and understood it. So we were just sort of, while you were talking about how now to sort of get it back to the GNSO so that they can talk about it and see what's there. So comment, going through the comment cycle would be a perfect thing, I think.
Okay, I think, Paul, we got our path forward. And do you, maybe as a, that's, again, this is the way the CCNSO do their business. What we could do is either include the Durban meeting in the public comment period, and in order to inform the people, or we could do it prior to the Durban meeting, but then it's going to be really people reading it and without the additional explanation. So again, that's more the way you, it's up to the GNSO what you think is the best way forward. Marika and then Heather.
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, one way you may consider is just before you put it out to public comment, request a meeting with the GNSO or with the GNSO constituencies and stakeholder group to give them a briefing, like in the form of a webinar, for example. So then you have the people that you can brief them what is in the report and then encourage them to submit to the public comment forum, so or or present to one of the council meetings so that councillors can take it back to their groups. And again, those groups that want further information can come back to you or the working group for a briefing or further information. In that case, you don't have to wait to Durban to put it out for public comment, but give people an opportunity to come to you if they want more detailed information.
It's more structuring the closure of this working group.
Can I put my hand up? I'm sorry to jump the queue.
Yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate that comment. That's certainly very useful. And what we're at great pains to make very clear here is that there's no desire to try to, as everyone on the group can appreciate, we have a report here which is largely saying we've done our thing, it is a complicated issue, and from here we recommend further work. So there's a logical desire to let's start getting towards that further work, this resultant working group getting started. And we're weighing up that desire to start moving with the tension of we want to be consultative and open. So if what is going to work best for constituencies is for SOs and ACs is webinars or intersessional briefings or briefing to council, well, we will do that to the CCNSO council anyway. So yes, basically, I would like to do it intersessionally, but only from the desire to get this moving as opposed to having it atrophy for another few months. And then we brief people at Durban. If the public comment period is not closed, we then need to extend it beyond Durban. So I hope everyone can appreciate it. It's not a pressure. It's not a desire to rush it or try to get it under the radar, just rather brief everyone as best we can, but try to use the inter-meeting timeframe if we possibly can. So, look, Bart and I will work on that. We will need to brief the CCNSO Council on our next steps as well, because they've got to sign off as we keep going, specifically in regard to our timeframes. So I think we'll take that under advisement and factor that in. But I think I've jumped in front of Heather.
Just a question. I won't say anything as to process. I think all the recommendations that have been made are very good. Just so we all are very clear, the next step then will be that these changes that we've talked about today will be incorporated into the draft, and that will be circulated again to all of us. That's fine. So then that's what we anticipate as the next step is the revised.
And this can be done because there are not really major changes. So this can be done on a relatively short time scale in our life. And then I think based on the final say that will be the final draft version and once more and then we're ready for public comment or submission. And I think listening to everybody say my advice would be we go for public comments and as Marika suggests even a webinar on this topic halfway or at the start of the public comment period for those who are interested. Say, and that could be a really cross-community webinar, I would say two on a one day, so we cover all the time zones as well. And so I think it would be nice if we would have, say, the public comment closed just after or just at the Durban meeting, so then we can submit it to the current council. Yes? Paul, any more remarks, questions from your end?
No, thank you, everyone. I'm conscious we've just taken up the whole hour. Bart and I, it's still a little vague with regards to the specific timings of the next steps. That's because we'll go away and work out the detail, circulate that to everyone probably with the email of what we hope will be the final draft. But otherwise, thank you, everyone. That's it from me.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you from my end as well. Good day.